Using the regular Russian word pisach, which means to write, we get opisach to describe. O means about. Peripisach, to rewrite. Peri means over. Podpisach, to subscribe. Pod means under. Pripisach, to ascribe. Pri means to. Nadpisach, to inscribe. Nad means over or above. Vypisach, to write out or prescribe. Vy means out. Zapisach, to write down or register. Za means down. Now you can see how words are built up. Once you learn that basic word, you can spot how the more complex words are created from it. Of course, you still have to study the word to learn it. No system is fully predictable, and each has lots of irregularities. But the learning process becomes much easier when you have something to hang your memory on. And most Indo-European languages employ this system of combining basic roots and prefixes to create thousands of much more complex concepts. Let's remember that English is a living language. The meanings of a lot of our words have evolved over time, so they don't all have quite the same literal meaning that they started out with. A word like manufacture, for example, literally means handmade. Manu, hand, and facture, made. Because in the old days, when you manufactured something, you made it by hand. But you can see that the basic principle of the word is still there, and a knowledge of how to dissect these words will help you learn them, especially if you are starting to learn English as a foreign language. The point is that words are not just a complicated set of meaningless syllables that have a certain arbitrary meaning attached to them. A language grows organically, like a tree. So it's natural for words to be related to one another and built from each other. We don't make up some meaningless new sound and give it a meaning. We almost always work from existing words to create new ones. If an American or British scientist invents some kind of new machine, you can bet that he won't decide to call it a Grobsmath Lupium. Why? Because that's not English, nor does it even look or sound like English. Just because he invented it doesn't really give him the right to make up a name like that out of the blue. Why not? Because he's breaking the rule that you make up new words out of existing roots of the language. Furthermore, nobody would ever remember the name. It would hardly be on the road to commercial success. But if he called it a, say, transtactomorphilator, you'd immediately accept it as English, even though I just made up the word out of Latin and Greek words used in English. Remember, every language will have some sort of word-building system. Look for it. After all, if there weren't some kind of a system, kids wouldn't be able to learn their own language either. The key points to remember from this section are: 1. Every language builds the complex words from the simple, basic root words of that language. 2. After you learn several hundred words or more, you will start noticing familiar roots creeping back into your vocabulary lists in new forms. 3. Eventually, the vast proportion of new vocabulary in your new language will be based on roots you already know. Words, words, words. That's actually from Shakespeare's Hamlet. There are only two things that you really need to learn when you study a foreign language: words and how to put them together. All right. So all you need to build the Eiffel Tower is some bolts and girders and a lot of space. Fair enough. But you just can't learn a language without learning words. Lots of them. Memorizing vocabulary lists and grammar rules, which determine how you use these words, can be the real drudgery of language study. I want to show you how to make learning vocabulary as easy and painless as possible. How many words do you have to learn when you study a language? Well, that depends on what you want to say and understand. To get around a country and meet your very basic needs, a couple of hundred words might do. To carry on a simple conversation on general topics, you'll need about 2,000 words. To hold a fairly serious conversation with people and read a newspaper, you'll need a minimum of 5,000 words. Don't worry about the numbers now. At any stage, the most important thing is to use all the words you know. The traditional way to study vocabulary is to use a word list, with the foreign words listed down one side and the corresponding English words down the other. You cover up one side of the page and go down the other while practicing and testing yourself until you think you know them all pretty well. The main problem with a list is that you can cheat a little bit. You sometimes remember what a word on a list means, not because you actually remember the word, but because you remembered which word came after which on the list, or you remember which word it was that came near the top of the list. Put the word in a different place on the list, and suddenly you don't remember what it means anymore. Instead of lists, I recommend you use word cards to learn vocabulary. Word cards are a variation on the idea of word lists, but they don't have the drawbacks of lists. In fact, word cards have many extra advantages. First, let me describe word cards. They're little cards, the thickness of index cards, about 1 by 3 inches, with the foreign word written on one side and the English on the back. Don't buy the ready-made ones with the pre-printed vocabulary on them. They're expensive, and half the time they don't have the words on them that you want, or the way you want them. Buy blank cards and write your own. When you make your cards, write the word upside down on the second side so that you have only to flip the card upside down to see the meaning. If you can't find boxes of blank word cards for sale, make your own by cutting up index cards. The advantages of word cards as a technique for collecting and drilling vocabulary are, first, you can mix the order of the cards around, which means you won't remember